कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय कुंज गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुनातीरा वनचारी यमुनातीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन ಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ವನಚಾರಿ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೆ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೆ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೆ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೆ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೆ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Radha Rasti Hari Radhe Jaya Dhuranitai Jaya Dhuranitai Dhuranitai Jaya Dhuranitai Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Jai Jai Prabhupad 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 Jai Prabhupad Gaura Hari Bol Hari Bol Hari Bol Nita Gaura Hari Bol
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya Ashtotar Sat His Divine Grace Abhay Charanarvinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrind Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Raspi Hari Ji Ki Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande Samaveta Bhakta Vrind Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrind Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrind Ki Jai Shri Shri Guru Gauranga Ki Jai. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam yena bhutale Svayam rupa kada mahyam Dadati svapadantikam Vandeham shri guru Shri yuta padakamalam Shri gurun vaishnavamscha Shri rupam sagrajatam Sahagana raghunathanvitam tam sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurundina Tarinam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam भक्तरूप स्वरूपकम् भक्तावतारम् भक्ताख्यम् नमामि भक्तशक्तिकम् आराध्य भगवान् व्रजेश तनयस् तद्धाम वृंदावनम् रम्या काचिदुपासना व्रजवधो वर्गेणया कल्पिता श्रीमद्भागवतम् प्रमाणममलम् प्रेमपुमर्थो महान् श्रीचैतन्य महाप्रभोर्मतमिदम् तत्रादरः न परः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तत्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा वेलकम टू this series of talks on the glories of Lord Shiva. Today is the third and the concluding day. Once again, before we begin, may I remind you that Lord Shiva does not like mobile phones. So please ensure that you switch off your mobile phones. Lord Shiva, the only music he likes to hear is the sound of Lord Krishna's flute. So we have been discussing over the last 2 days about how Lord Shiva is such an exalted personality. He is best known amongst the devotee community for being a great devotee of the Lord, one of the greatest of all Vaishnavas. And apart from being a great Vaishnav, he also performs many, many other important functions. Like he is the Guna Avatar, the avatar of the Lord, who is in charge of the Tamo Guna, or the mode of ignorance. He plays a very crucial role in the process of material creation, destruction, and also its maintenance. He also plays the role of a demigod who bestows benedictions upon his worshippers. He is not an independent Supreme Lord, as some people wrongly think. He is a dependent Lord. He is called Lord Shiva because he is the Lord. He is an Ishvara. He is a controller. Shiva is sometimes called Ishvara, but Krishna is called Parameshvara. So he is a supreme controller. So there are many, many controllers, and all the demigods are considered to be controllers, but they are not supreme controllers. That is only Krishna. So Lord Shiva performs these useful roles. He performs many pastimes. He guides aspiring devotees in the path of Krishna consciousness. And even sometimes for those who may approach him for material benedictions, he brings them to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Today we will speak something about Lord Shiva's own devotional service, the extent of Lord Shiva's devotion to Lord Krishna. After all, we consider that he is such a great Vaishnav, so let us hear something about his Vaishnavism, something more. Srila Prabhupada used to tell the story that one time there was a German man. He had heard about India being the land of spirituality. And he had been told that if you want to look for God, then you have to come to India. So he came to India. And he had no idea who God was, but he was wandering to all the holy places and he was going to the different temples. And everywhere he went, he was not satisfied till he came to the temple of Lord Krishna. And when someone asked him, "Why have you concluded after your visits to the holy places and different temples that Lord Krishna is God?" He said, "In most of the other places that I went, or the pictures of different deities that I saw they were all busy performing some activity, some function. I saw Goddess Durga. She was busy on her lion carrier killing Mahishasur. Then we went to Goddess Kali's temple and there she was a ferocious form. She was also performing some act like this. We went to Lord Shiva's temple and we saw the picture of him sitting in deep meditation. So we understood that he also can't be supreme because what would he be meditating on? When you meditate on something, you meditate on some power that is superior to you. So if Lord Shiva is sitting in meditation, that means he is meditating on someone who is superior to him. Otherwise, what would he sit and meditate upon? But when I came to Lord Krishna's temple, then I found that this is God, because he's simply playing the flute and enjoying. So that's a fact. God's real business is enjoying. He doesn't want to go to the office and perform many other official functions. He leaves that to Vishnu and all his other expansions. When it comes to creation, destruction, maintenance, he has Vishnu, he has Shiva, he has Brahma. So he delegates all these official functions. All of you simply carry on these official duties and I will just stay and enjoy with my Brajabasis. I will play the flute, I will herd the cows, I will frolic with my cowherd boyfriends, I will have Rasalila with the gopis, I will give pleasure to my father and mother Nanda Maharaj and mother Yashoda. In this way, I will relish life in Vrindavan." So Krishna is the supreme, all-attractive one. And Lord Shiva meditates on the Supreme Lord. That is why we see him sitting in meditation. In different scriptures, there are many descriptions about Lord Shiva's meditation. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it is mentioned that Lord Krishna, he chants Krishna's names and he meditates on him and he gets so much spiritual happiness or bliss that he begins to dance in great ecstasy. And he becomes intoxicated, like a person who's intoxicated with ordinary intoxication. But here is an intoxication of a completely different nature. It is transcendental, pure. So Lord Shiva is always intoxicated with the love of the Supreme Lord. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami has also given many examples of Lord Shiva's devotion. One time, when Krishna was playing the flute in Vrindavan, the sound of the flute penetrated to the higher planets. And there Indra on his planet, Brahma on his planet, Shiva also was sitting meditating in Kailash. And Shiva's meditation was disturbed by this sound of the flute. And he became so puzzled, he couldn't understand what is this beauty, what is this most exquisite sound that he is hearing. And he became puzzled and just bent down his head in humility. That is the only thing he could do to offer his respects to this sound. And he understood that this is Lord Krishna's flute playing. Also elsewhere, Rupa Goswami mentions that although Indra, Brahma, Shiva and so on are very learned scholars, they are very great personalities, very powerful, they are all Ishwaras. But when they hear the sound of Krishna's flute, they become bewildered. They don't know what to make of it. They can't understand how Krishna is such a perfect musician that he makes all these different notes. And the sound is so haunting that whatever work they are doing, they cannot do anymore. Such is the power of Lord Krishna's pastimes and like his playing of the flute. One time Lord Shiva was watching the Rasa Leela of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan. And when he saw the beautiful face of Lord Krishna, he became so full of love for Lord Krishna that he started dancing in ecstasy, playing his damaru, his dindima drum. And his son Ganesh had also accompanied him, and Ganesh also started dancing in kirtan along with his father. So somebody yesterday was saying in the question that the family of Lord Shiva is people of all contradictory natures. So how is it that Lord Shiva manages to keep everyone together because of this devotion? So he was dancing, Ganesh was dancing, so whole family was dancing in love of Krishna. One time, Srila Rupa Goswami says, Narad Muni came to visit Lord Shiva. And he started glorifying Lord Krishna by chanting Krishna's names. And Shiva became so engrossed in the ecstasy of hearing those names that his body started getting transformed. His complexion started changing and the blue lines on his neck, which you remember occurred because he swallowed the poison from the Samudra Manthan, the churning of the milk ocean. And the blue line became white. And Goddess Parvati, when she came and she saw, she said, oh, this is a different person, it's not my husband. And then she went away in fear. So like this, there are many, many instances that Srila Rupa Goswami gives to show that Lord Shiva is constantly meditating on Krishna. One time, Goddess Parvati was interested to serve Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna. So she went to a sage called Vamadev. And Vamadev instructed her, gave her nice instruction, and he actually gave her diksha in the chanting of the Vishnu Sahasranam, the thousand names of Lord Vishnu. You have all heard of the Vishnu Sahasranam, right? So she began chanting the Vishnu Sahasranam very happily. After a few days of enjoying the association, the divine association of her guru, she went back to her abode. At that time, Lord Shiva had just finished worshipping Lord Vishnu, his worshipable Lord, on the Dwadashi day. And it was time to break the Ekadashi fast, and he was about to sit to honor Prasadam. So he said to his wife, Goddess Parvati, please come and eat with me. So she said, you please eat first. I still have to chant my Vishnu Sahasranam. I have not done it. So then Lord Shiva was very happy to hear of the devotional service being rendered by his wife. And he praised her, he glorified her. But then he made another statement. He said, Rama Rameti Rameti Rame Rame Manorame Sahasranama Bhistulyam Rama Nama Varanane. He said, my dear beautiful faced one, Varanane, Parvati, I constantly chant the names of Rama. Rama Rameti Rameti. Iti means thus. Rama Rama Rama. I constantly chant this. Rame Rame Manorame. And when I chant this name of Ram, I become extremely enchanted. I feel great happiness, great bliss. In fact, there is no happiness to parallel this kind of happiness. And chanting of one name of Ram is equal to chanting the Vishnu Sahasranam. In other words, 1,000 names of Lord Vishnu. So by chanting the name of Ram one time, it is equal to chanting the name of Vishnu 1,000 times. In fact, my dear goddess, Lord Shiva said, every time somebody speaks, I am constantly waiting to hear what kind of syllables he or she will chant. The moment I hear the syllable R, I become very eagerly expectant, thinking that he will go ahead and say Ram. So I am eagerly looking forward always to hear the name of Ram. So now, you just chant the name of Ram and come and eat with me. So your Vishnu Sahasranam will be done. So then Goddess Parvati chanted Ram. So okay, now they both sat down and honored Lord Krishna's prasadam. So even Goddess Parvati, Durga Devi, she is a great devotee. Unfortunately, we are very fearful of her because she comes with a trident. But those tridents are actually meant for those who are not devotees of the Lord. For devotees, she is very kind because she herself is a devotee. In this way, Lord Krishna, Lord Shiva, is absorbed in this meditation like this. He meditates on Lord Sankarshan, who is also Ram, Balaram. Another, the word Ram can mean either Lord Ram of Ayodhya, it can mean Parashuram, it can also mean Balaram. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Balaram is many times referred to as Ram. And the origin of Sankarshan, the worshipable deity of Lord Shiva, is Balaram. So in any case, Lord Shiva is absorbed like this in constantly meditating upon his worshipable Lord and chanting his holy names. In this way, he sometimes ecstatically dances, he chants in kirtan, and so on. One time, when Lord Shiva was sitting meditating on Mount Kailas, he suddenly heard Lord Krishna's flute. And he was very curious to know the origin of this most beautiful sound. So he started following it, and he came to Vrindavan, all the way from Kailas. And when he came to Vrindavan, he saw that now there was time for Lord Krishna's Rasa Leela. And he wanted to enter the Rasa Leela. Yes, Lord Shiva's anger will be there for all those whose mobile phones ring. So please, second announcement, switch off all the mobile phones. So Lord Shiva came to the Rasa Leela site. And he wanted to enter because the Rasa Leela was about to begin. And at that time, Yogamaya, she came there. Yogamaya is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. And her function is to see that Lord Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan are facilitated very nicely. She is what you would call an event manager. Yes? For Lord Krishna's pastimes. Nowadays we hear a lot of this event management, no? So she is Vrindavan's event manager. So she arranges all the things for Krishna, whatever is required. She does everything. So she saw Lord Shiva coming, and she said, look, wait, you can't enter here. So why? I'm also a devotee, but you are a male. In this assembly of the Rasa Leela, Krishna is the only Purusha. So big problem, what to do now? But I want to see Lord Krishna's Rasa Leela. I want to participate in that Rasa Leela. Well then, you have to become a gopi. I become a gopi? How can I do that? I am Lord Shiva. No, you have to go. There is an easy way. You go to Vrinda Devi and she will guide you what to do. So Lord Shiva was so eager, he was willing to do anything to enter Lord Krishna's Rasa Leela pastimes. Incidentally, Lord Krishna's Rasa Leela pastimes are so much misunderstood by people. But just see, if the Rasa Leela were some ordinary dance of this world, would Lord Shiva have been so eager to participate? Lord Shiva is called Dhira because he can control his senses, his mind. He is very sober. He is spiritually so advanced. What would Lord Shiva want to enter and participate in the Lord Leela, in the Rasa Leela, if it was some ordinary mundane thing? So it goes to show that Lord Krishna's Rasa Leela is one of the topmost spiritual pastimes that are performed by Lord Krishna. So then Vrinda Devi took Lord Shiva to the Manasarovar Lake, which is in Vrajamandal, in the Vrindavan area. And he took his bath there, and he came out, lo and behold, as a gopi. And then Vrinda Devi very carefully took him, or took her, into the site of the Rasa Leela and made her stand in one place. And at that time, Lord Krishna saw. And he said, oh, this is Lord Shiva who has come as a gopi. Wonderful. So he went up to Lord Shiva and said, oh, Gopeshwar, I am so happy that you have come here. You will be the Lord of the gopis. And I bless you that henceforth, actually all the gopis will worship you every day. So that time Srimati Radharani, the chief of the gopis, was nearby. So she heard this. She said, who is this new lady who has come here? And why are you calling her Gopeshwar? You have never called me Gopeshwar. I am the chief gopi. But you are calling this newcomer as Gopeshwar. So Lord Krishna pacified. He said, don't worry. Actually, this is Lord Shiva. He is Mahadev. And he has come and he wanted to participate in the Rasa Leela. So he has taken this form. So I have addressed him as Gopeshwar. He is Gopeshwar Mahadev. And from today, this Gopeshwar Mahadev will be the protector of Vrindavan. He will be the protector of the Rasa Leela site. You see, Lord Krishna's pastimes are very confidential pastimes. They are much misunderstood. Only one who is a pure devotee of the Lord can actually understand the true nature of these pastimes. And many people take Krishna's pastimes very cheaply. Many times we get people who come to our temple in Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram Mandir, and they ask, I have heard that sometimes Krishna and Radha, they come out of and you can see them at night in the forest area. Is it true? So the reply, of course, our acharyas give, that it is not so cheap that you just go in the forest and just see Radha and Krishna like that. It requires a pure heart. Vishaya chhadiya kabe shuddha habe man, tabe hama hai rabo shri Vrindavan. So the acharyas have sung that when will that day come when my heart will become free of all the desires for worldly pleasures, for sense gratification. And then I will be able to see Vrindavan Dham as it is, the real Vrindavan. Not just the external appearance of Vrindavan. Now when you go to Vrindavan, you will see the external form. The monkeys, the dogs, the hogs, the dirt, the rickshawalas, the noise, the heat, the cold. These are the things we see when we go to Vrindavan. But that is the external form of Vrindavan. We have to penetrate that external curtain of Maya to understand the real Vrindavan within. And then we will be able to see all the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. It's not an ordinary or cheap thing that somebody can just come there as a tourist and then expect to see the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Srila Prabhupada mentions that you cannot go to Vrindavan with a railway ticket. Meaning that simply by entering the geographical boundary of Vrindavan, it doesn't mean that you can necessarily understand what is Vrindavan and what is Krishna. The heart has to be purified of all the material contamination. And love for Krishna must develop in the heart by chanting his holy names and performing all the different elements of sadhana, bhakti and so on. Then we will be qualified. So in order that unqualified people should not be able to enter into Rasleela, the intricacies of the mysteries of the Rasleela, Lord Krishna chose Lord Shiva. He will be the protector, not just of Vrindavan, but specifically of the Rasleela Sthali, the place where the Rasleela was performed by Krishna. So he will be stationed here. And all of you gopis, please understand that he is your protector. Therefore he is Gopeshwar. Gopi Ishwar, the Ishwar, the Lord of the gopis. And every day, all of you should go and worship him. So Lord Shiva has remained outside the Rasleela site in Vrindavan. And it's one of the very famous temples of Vrindavan, Gopeshwar Mahadev Temple. And devotees, it is said that every time we come to Vrindavan, we should go to Gopeshwar Mahadev to take his permission to enter Vrindavan. And then by his blessings, we may be able to understand something about Vrindavan. Otherwise, Vrindavan is very difficult to understand. The Gopeshwar Mahadev Temple has been described by many of our acharyas. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, they have all mentioned it. In the Bhakti Ratnakar Narahari Chakravarti Thakur has also spoken about Gopeshwar Mahadev. And some of the acharyas have written poetry glorifying, songs glorifying Gopeshwar Mahadev. And all these acharyas in their songs, they are teaching us how to approach Gopeshwar Mahadev. We should approach Gopeshwar Mahadev with the prayer, please, O Gopeshwar Mahadev, please give me love. Please give me love for Radha Krishna. Let me become a pure devotee of Lord Krishna like you, or following in your footsteps. So the prayers are in this vein, the Acharya's prayers to Gopeshwar Mahadev. So we can understand what kind of an exalted position Lord Shiva has in Vrindavan. So Gopeshwar Mahadev remains. If you visit the temple, you will see there's not just a Shiva Linga, but there's also Lord Shiva's form there. And you see in every time there is Shivaratri, there is a big crowd. And also on the appearance day of Advaita Acharya, in Gopeshwar Mahadev, there is a big celebration because Advaita Acharya is also a form of Lord Shiva. So this happens very much now. The worship is going on according to Vaishnava standards there. Earlier, many, many decades ago, there was many controversies because some other people came and they changed the method of worship. But now, fortunately, it is being worshipped in the proper way. Gopeshwar Mahadev is only one of the deities of Lord Shiva in the entire Brajamandal area. Vrajamandal refers to the entire Vrindavan, the larger Vrindavan. Vrindavan is not just the area covered by the present municipality township of Vrindavan. Yes? That is Vrindavan in name for now, the modern name of Vrindavan. But actually in the whole Vrajamandal area, there are many, many forests. And Lord Krishna used to live in this whole area called Vrajamandal. Mandal means a circle or an area. It's also called Vrajabhumi. And among all these forests, there are more than 130 forests the acharyas have identified. The 12 are considered to be the main ones. And of these 12 forests, one of these forests is Vrindavan. So this forest of Vrindavan extends from the modern town of Vrindavan all the way to Govardhan on one side and Barsana, Nandagram on the other side. So it is quite a big place. And sometimes in general when we refer to Vrindavan, we refer to the whole Vrajamandal. So in the entire Vrajamandal, there are many, many deities of Lord Shiva. Not just the recent ones. There have been many that have come in the last century or two. But there are many that have been there for a long time and that are even mentioned in the books of our Goswamis, even the six Goswamis. It is said that Gopeshwar Mahadev's deity was there right from Krishna's time, 5,000 years ago. Because this pastime happened right then when Krishna was performing his manifest pastimes in Vrindavan. So Gopeshwar Mahadev's deity is very old. Vajranab, who was the great grandson of Krishna, he played a very important role in re-establishing many of the old pastime places of Krishna in Vrindavan. He established many of the original deities of Krishna and also of Lord Shiva. Vajranab's father was Aniruddha, Aniruddha's father was Pradyumna, Pradyumna's father was Krishna. So Vajranab, along with establishing different deities of Lord Krishna, Lord Balaram, Vrinda Devi and so on, he also installed Shivalingas as Dikpal. Because Krishna had told the gopis at the time of Gopeshwar Mahadev that Lord Shiva will henceforth be the Kshetrapal or the Dikpal. He will protect my land. So as Kshetrapal, Vajranab placed deities of Lord Shiva in four different areas of Vrajamandal. And one of those is the Gopeshwar Mahadev of Vrindavan. Then there is Bhuteshwar Mahadev in Mathura. Then there is Kameshwar Mahadev in Kamyavan. And there is Chakleshwar Mahadev near Manasi Ganga in Govardhan. So these four are the main deities of Lord Shiva in the Vrajamandal area because they are considered to be Kshetrapal, the protectors of Vrindavan. But there are also other deities. There are four more deities also like Pippaleshwar Mahadev and so on who are considered other protectors of the Dham. So distributed throughout Vrajamandal, you will find many, many old deities of Lord Shiva which are there for the protection of the Dham from unscrupulous elements or from unqualified people who want to penetrate into the mysteries of Vrindavan. As far as Bhuteshwar Mahadev is concerned in Mathura, Bhuteshwar Mahadev is a place where you are supposed to go first to offer respects when you first come to Vrajamandal or before you see Mathura. It is said that Lord Shiva one time performed many, many years of penance to be able to come to Mathura, and the Lord granted his desire and he became Bhuteshwar Mahadev there. And then of course there is Kameshwar Mahadev in Kamyavan. Kamyavan is also a place of many, many pastimes of Lord Krishna. And later the Pandavas also visited Kamyavan. Many pastimes of the Pandavas took place there also. And Chakleshwar Mahadev, he is also a very important deity of Lord Shiva. It is said that when Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, fierce rain was falling on all sides, poured by Indra. And this rain was not like the ordinary rain we experience in Mumbai. Even Mumbai rain is considered heavy when you compare to many other places. Sometimes there are big floods and so on. But this is nothing compared to the rain that Indra poured during this episode of the lifting of Govardhan. It was rain that was meant for the time of destruction of the universe. The rain was falling not in drops, but in pillars. Pillars of water were falling huge and with fierce waves. And the residents of Vrindavan took shelter of Krishna. So Krishna very easily lifted the Govardhan Hill, just like a child plucks a mushroom or a flower from the ground and lifts it up. And then all the Vrajavasis, the dear devotees of Krishna, they came under the Govardhan Hill. And he held up the Govardhan Hill for 7 days and seven nights. But because the fierce winds and rain was very heavy outside, Krishna wanted to protect his devotees from feeling uncomfortable even under Govardhan Hill. So he sent his Sudarshan Chakra and said, you keep going around Govardhan, and with the heat of your fire, all the rain should be dried up, so that inside here we feel warm, like a nice heater from outside, heating. So Lord Krishna provided for nice heating arrangement. Such heaters we cannot get nowadays. So natural heating or extra supernatural heating he provided. So the Vrajavasis under Govardhan could not feel the cold outside. Then after the Govardhan Leela was over, Krishna kept down Govardhan. Indra was feeling embarrassed and ashamed. He came to beg forgiveness from Krishna. And Krishna forgave him, but with a word of caution, don't become proud again. Then Sudarshan Chakra came to Krishna. Now I have done the service. Where should I stay now? I need a place also. So Lord Krishna gave him a place to stay. And that place was Chakreshwar. And Lord Shiva also appeared there. So he was called Chakreshwar Mahadev. It is right on the bank of the Manasi Ganga, near Govardhan. Manasi Ganga is just near Govardhan. And it is the Ganga that was brought about by Krishna from his mind. When Nanda Maharaj and the other Vrajavasis wanted to go for Ganga Snan far away, he said, don't worry, I will bring Ganga here. And he did. So on the banks of the Manasi Ganga is Chakreshwar Mahadev. There are five lingas actually, representing the five faces of Lord Shiva, Panchamukhi. Lord Shiva is also called Panchanana or Panchamukhi, who has five faces. So there Chakreshwar Mahadev, gradually it changed to Chakleshwar Mahadev by the local dialects. So Lord Shiva resides there in Chakleshwar Mahadev. He is the protector of that area of Vrajamandal. And whenever anyone comes to do Govardhan Parikrama, it is said that you must start from Manasi Ganga. Although you can also start from any other place provided you come back to that place. But usually the tradition is to start from Manasi Ganga. And at Manasi Ganga you first take darshan of Lord Haridev. Take a dip in the Manasi Ganga. And then also take blessings from Lord Chakreshwar Mahadev, who is there on the banks of the Manasi Ganga. So one time, Sanatan Goswami was living in Vrindavan. And there is a story, wonderful story, which we will not narrate now because it is not very relevant. That a rich man came and built a big temple of Lord Krishna for Sanatan Goswami. It was the Madan Mohan temple. It was one of the first temples that was built in Vrindavan after Krishna's departure. Krishna departed and wound up his pastimes in Vrindavan more than 5,000 years ago. And so the temples remained for some time, but then so many things happened and then there was not much available there. Only after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's coming to Vrindavan were all these places of pastimes revived again. So Sanatan Goswami used to live as a Babaji in Vrindavan. He had no hut or house to stay in. He would live under any tree. And when a rich man came, his name was Ramdas Kapoor, and he built a grand temple for Madan Mohanji. And now all the arrangements were there. Then Lord Shiva appeared to Sanatan Goswami in a dream. And he said, you are a Babaji, and now this big temple is built. So it is not an appropriate place for you to stay. Because earlier you were doing Madhukari. You were going to every different home, taking a little one roti from somewhere, little sabji from somewhere. And sometimes you would not even eat. And you would wander from place to place doing your bhajan. But now this huge temple is there. Opulent foods will be worshipped to Madan Mohan. And then you will have to eat all these opulent foodstuffs. So you come here now. You leave Madan Mohan temple and do your sadhan bhajan. You do your activities here in Manasi Ganga with me. So then Sanatan Goswami said, all right. Is Lord Shiva's instruction? How can I say no? Then Sanatan Goswami came and stayed at Chakleshwar Mahadev. And being based over there, every day he would do a parikrama of Govardhan. He would do the longer parikrama.
that would be almost 24, 25 kilometers. And this was his daily function. Even in his old age, he would do like this. But one time what happened was, Sanatan Goswami was sitting there and doing his bhajan. He was chanting, but he was being troubled by mosquitoes. For those of you who have gone to Vrindavan, you know Vrindavan mosquitoes can be quite persistent. But of course, they are Brajavasis. They are also living in Vrindavan. So what can you do? You can't kill them. Anyway, you shouldn't kill living entities. So, Sanatan Goswami was being troubled very much by these mosquitoes. And he could not even do his bhajan very nicely. He was chanting and all the time the mosquitoes would be biting, making buzzing sounds. So he became a little disturbed. So he decided that let me go away from here. Let me find some other place where I can peacefully do my bhajan. When Lord Shiva understood, he became alarmed. He said, I will be bereft of the association of Sanatan Goswami. I feel so much happiness when I see him or when I hear his chanting. And now he will be gone. So he became very concerned and very alarmed. So he came to Sanatan Goswami in the form of a Brahmin. And he said, my dear Goswamiji, please stay on here. Don't go from here. The mosquitoes, they will go away. So Sanatan stayed back. Later he understood it. It was Lord Shiva himself who came as a Brahmana. So now Lord Shiva is Mahadev. He is very powerful. He has a lot of influence. In this material world, as you know, especially in India, everything works on influence. On pull, what you have, pull everywhere. So Lord Shiva had some influence. He used pull with a demigod in charge of the mosquitoes. And he said, Prabhu, please do something needful. Get your wards away from there. You are giving them protection, but they are troubling the great devotee Sanatan Goswami and he wants to leave and go away. So the demigod said, yes, Mahadev, I will have to follow. I will happily follow your instruction. So then he ordered the mosquitoes and the mosquitoes left and Sanatan Goswami could peacefully do his bhajan there from that time. And the Brajabasis say that even today in Chakleshwar Mahadev you will not see mosquitoes. All the mosquitoes are there everywhere else. I tried to see a couple of times, of course. We went in the daytime, so we did not see mosquitoes. But I don't know whether even at night there are no mosquitoes there now. So in any case, Lord Shiva, as Chakleshwar Mahadev, is performing so many nice pastimes there. So we can understand what kind of a devotee in Vrajaras Lord Shiva is. He serves Lord Krishna in many rasas. It is explained that in the Rupa Goswami explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that generally Lord Shiva's bhava or his mood of devotion to Lord Krishna is a mix of two rasas of servitude, dasya, and fraternity, that is friendship or sakhyaras. So he serves the Lord like this, in this mood. So even though he came as a gopi, as Gopishwar Mahadev, but still his job was to protect. So he was serving, he was offering seva in that way to Lord Krishna. And so happy was he doing that he relishes this higher taste and he doesn't want to get involved in anything else, but what to do, it is an official duty for Krishna. It is also his devotional service. Just like sometimes there may be a temple president or a temple manager, he has to do so many functions which may not be very pleasant all the time. Administration is not something easy. He wants to sit and read, he wants to sit and study, chant Hare Krishna, do kirtan. But he has his official duties to do, which is also the service to Krishna. So he does that very faithfully. But at the same time, his heart is in doing all this. So Lord Shiva is also like that. He has to perform all these functions of creation, destruction, maintenance, many jobs, bless the worshippers, grant them benedictions. But that's his service to Krishna. But what he really likes to do is to be in Vrindavan. That is the real Lord Shiva. In fact, one time, when the Lord approached Lord Shiva, when he was still a bachelor, and he said, "So Lord Shiva, I think it is time for you to get married to the trident-wielding goddess, Goddess Durga." So Lord Shiva said, "My Lord, please don't ask me to do this, because I am so happy relishing chanting your glories and chanting your names. I am feeling so much happiness doing all this. And now, if you ask me to enter into the Grihastha ashram, then there will be so many disturbances. Then I will have to deal with all the problems of family life. Then children will be there and so many things will come. Actually, my experience, my dear Lord, is that so long as I am chanting your holy names and glorifying you, I feel happy. And the moment I stop, my happiness also stops." But anyway, Lord Shiva was obedient as a devotee. Eventually, of course, he did marry Goddess Durga, who was also a great devotee. So it went on. So Lord Shiva is like this. He wants to do service to Lord Krishna and relish his devotion. One time Lord Shiva was so keen to participate in other ways in Lord Krishna's pastimes, he performed austerities for many years. Now Brahma had also done similar things, and he wanted to serve Srimati Radharani. So he was given the benediction that, "All right, since you want to serve Srimati Radharani like this in Vrindavan, normally as an official function, Brahma is seated on the lotus, he is creating this universe and all that. He cannot do all this. But he wants to come also separately to serve Srimati Radharani." So he was given the benediction that you can become the hill on which Radharani will stay. And that is Barsana. So those of you who have gone to Vrindavan, Govardhan, you have heard of Barsana. So Barsana is Srimati Radharani's place. Her father Vrishabhanu and mother Kirtida used to stay in the palace there. There is a big temple there on Barsana on the top called the Shriji Mandir. So the hill on which this temple stands is an incarnation or is a form of Lord Brahma. Brahma has taken that form to serve Srimati Radharani. Similarly, Lord Shiva also wanted to serve Krishna. So how to serve? He performed penances for many, many years. And then the Lord said, "Yes, what do you want?" He said, "Many years later, at the end of Dwapar Yuga, Krishna, you will come down and perform many pastimes there. So I also want to participate in the pastimes. Maybe I can become a hill or a stone, maybe even a blade of grass, I don't mind. Because all the Brajabasis will walk over me and then I will feel so much happiness." So this is the position of a real devotee. In Krishna consciousness, we don't want to be someone very big. We don't want to be number one. We always want to be the servants of the devotees. We understand the glories of the Vaishnavas, the great devotees of the Lord, and we always want to consider ourselves as small. Take a humble position. The great devotee Uddhava also prayed like this, to become a blade of grass in Vrindavan, so the dust from the feet of the Brajabasis would fall on his head and his life would become perfect. So the great Lord Shiva, just imagine, he wants to become an ordinary pebble or a blade of grass or some stone in the Vrajamandal. So Lord Krishna says, no, there is no need for you to become a blade of grass. You will become a hill. And this hill will be called Nandishwar Parvat. And I will come and I will live on top of you. And my family, my father, mother and all my friends, we will live there. My father's house, the Nanda Bhavan, will be on top of you as Nandishwar Parvat. So then Lord Shiva appeared in Vrindavan as a hill that is today called Nandishwar Parvat. And the place is called Nandagram. when Srimati Radharani shifted from Raval to Barsana, then Krishna actually shifted from, his family shifted from Vrindavan to Nandagram. So anyway, having shifted to Nandagram, now of course there is a big village around the Parvat. Many, many Brajavasis stay there. So Lord Shiva was very happy that he could perform this function for Lord Krishna by becoming the servant like this, by becoming the hill, and then Lord Krishna and other associates would walk all over him. And this was considered such a blessing. When finally Lord Krishna did appear in Vrindavan 5,000 years ago, Lord Shiva now was very keen to go and take his darshan. So Lord Shiva came in his usual form, smeared with crematorium ashes, snakes around his shoulders, and sometimes skulls also hanging from his neck, and hair, long hair, and partly tied in a knot at the top knot, the jata. And he had his damaru, and he was playing his damaru instrument, and he came there with his trident in his hand, and he was looking here and there, where is Krishna? I want to take darshan of Krishna. And he came to Nanda Bhavan, and he knocked at the door, and Mother Yashoda, the mother of Krishna, she opened the door. And she looked, oh, this fierce looking yogi, who is this? Of course, she did not recognize that it is Lord Shiva. But when someone like that comes in your front door, then you are a little concerned. Snakes and skulls and ash and like that. So she said, who are you? What do you want? She said, I have come for darshan of your son. So she said, impossible. And she closed the door. Because she said, if my son sees you, he will start crying out of fear. Because you look so fearful. So, then Lord Shiva said, then I will stay here till Krishna comes out. I will sit here. He said, no, don't sit here. Don't sit here, you go. You must have come for Madhukari. I will give you some rotis and some nice sweets and prasadam. You please go now. Don't stay here, because my child is very delicate. If he sees you, then he will cry out of fear. So Lord Shiva was very sad. He took the rotis, and then he went away, and he was thinking, I am so unfortunate, but I have hope that someday I will be able to see Krishna. He was very hopeful in his heart. He was sad, but he was hopeful for the future. So, he went into the forest nearby, and he sat down there to meditate. And that forest where he meditated became known as Asheshwar Vana, because the word Asha means hope. Because Lord Shiva went there with the hope that I will get darshan of Krishna. And then, later, now there is a temple there, a small Shivalinga is there, it's called Asheshwar Mahadev. Like this, there are numerous Shiva deities all over Vraj. So then he remained sitting there, and he was absorbed in meditation on Krishna. Meanwhile, Krishna understood that he was deprived of the darshan of his great devotee Shiva. He was playing the role of a child, so he started crying very loudly. So Mother Yashoda came, and she tried to pacify him, but he would not stop. When Krishna is crying, it is a phenomenon in Vrindavan. So all the gopis came, what happened, what happened, why is Krishna crying? And they all tried to make Krishna stop crying, but he would not stop. So it was a real dilemma what to do. But then, Purnamasi came, and a wise old lady, and she came and said, yes, I think someone has cast an evil eye on him, because you must not have entertained the host properly, the guest properly. You see, Atithi Seva is very important Seva for Grihasthas, she told Yashoda. Have you by any chance offended any guest who came to your house? Who are the guests who came to your house? Then Mother Yashoda started mentioning all the names. This gopi came, that gopa came, this happened. And I said, oh yes, this one yogi also came. And what happened? And I sent him away. Oh, just see, so go someone to search for that yogi. He has cast an evil glance on your child. So the gopis of Vrinda, they all ran in different directions to search for this yogi. And finally, some of them found Lord Shiva sitting in Asheshwar Van, absorbed in meditation. So they told Lord Shiva, O yogi, O Baba, come. Krishna is waiting for you. Mother Yashoda is calling you. Come immediately. So Lord Shiva was very pleased. My hope is now fulfilled. So he came to the house of Mother Yashoda, Nanda Bhavan. And Mother Yashoda was still very nervous. So she just opened it a little bit, the door, saw Lord Shiva saw Krishna, Krishna also saw Lord Shiva. And then as soon as Krishna saw Lord Shiva, he stopped crying and gave a big smile. But Mother Yashoda immediately slammed the door. Now he stopped crying, the job is done, it is over. Otherwise if he looks more, then he will see the skulls and the snakes and all that, he will get frightened. So Lord Shiva said, but Mother, please open the door. I haven't had darshan to my heart's content. He said, no, one darshan is sufficient. But then, meanwhile, Krishna started crying again. So Mother Yashoda told Shiva that, Babaji, I have fulfilled your desire. You have had darshan of Krishna, my son. So now you should make him cry. Stop crying. So then now Lord Shiva was thinking, yes, now I have to be a little intelligent. Because now I know that Krishna also wants to see me. He wants to give me darshan also. So then he said, all right, my dear mother, I will do so, but on two conditions. So what are those conditions? He said, before that, anyway, when Krishna saw Lord Shiva again for the second time, at this time he stopped crying again and he became so happy that he was just like a child will, in happiness they will speak so many words, half broken language they speak, and he was laughing and laughing, and all the Brajavasis were very relieved. As you know, when a child laughs, then everybody becomes very happy to see the child laughing. And when Krishna, who is the most beautiful and most attractive, and he started laughing, then all the hearts were charmed. And Mother Yashoda decided that this Baba is not dangerous after all. So, in fact, I think I should make him stay in our village somewhere. So that any time Krishna cries, I will call him and he will make Krishna stop crying. So she's now petitioned this yogi and said, Babaji, now you please stay here always in our village. Now Shiva understood that the tables had turned. Earlier he was begging, let me see Krishna. And she was saying, no. But now that she was begging, you please stay, he said, okay, let me now play a little different role. He said, no, I won't stay. Please stay here. Well, all right, since you're pleading so much with me, of course in his heart he was really wanting to do it, but since you're pleading so much with me, I will agree, okay, but I have two conditions. So what are those conditions? One, whenever you bathe your child, the water which has bathed your child, you should come and sprinkle on me every day. And the second thing is, that when your child eats, then whatever remnants are there, you should come and give to me. So she happily agreed. And that tradition continues to this day. So there is Nandeshwar Mahadev. Nandeshwar Mahadev is on top of Nandeshwar Parvat. In the same house compound, Nanda Bhavan, there is the Shivalinga, there is Nandeshwar Mahadev there. And every day, when, of course there is a deity now, Krishna's deity is there. So when Krishna is offered bhoga, the Raj Bhog, then that Mahaprasad, after it is offered, is placed in front of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva is very happy. Similarly, when the arati ceremony is performed and water is offered, then that charanamrit is, or even when the deity's abhishek is performed, then that charanamrit is taken and sprinkled on Nandeshwar Mahadev. And the Rajbhog is also offered to Nandeshwar Mahadev. So in this way, Lord Shiva's desires to serve Lord Krishna and receive his mercy in Vrindavan were fulfilled. So Lord Krishna has, Lord Shiva has so many roles to play like this. There are many, many deities or lingas of Lord Shiva there in Vrindavan. And there is another small one which I can just mention in the passing, and that is found in Gokul. It's called Chintaharan Mahadev. It's called Chintaharan Ghat, that place. So those of you who have gone to Gokul will know. It is a very beautiful, nice, sandy little place with nice trees. And Lord Shiva appeared there because Mother Yashoda used to be always anxious about the mischievous acts of her child. As you know, Krishna was a very mischievous child. He would play many pranks. So her mother used to be constantly in, his mother used to constantly be in anxiety. So whenever she was in anxiety, she would come to Chintaharan Mahadev, and there she would feel some relief from her anxieties. So it is said that those who are in a lot of anxiety and tension, they go, when they go to Gokul and they visit Chintaharan Mahadev, like a stress buster. Nowadays it's a common problem. People have so much tension and stress. So then, people still today, they go to Chintaharan Mahadev. In Kameshwar Mahadev or Kamyavan, till today it is said that those who want any desires fulfilled, go to Kameshwar Mahadev. Because Kam means desire. So whatever desires you may have will get fulfilled. Many people, of course, go to get some material desires fulfilled. But Lord Shiva is not very happy with that. Lord Shiva actually wants to perform devotional service. He wants to see others performing devotional service. And he is very happy to offer blessings for pure devotional service to everyone. So the real prayer we should offer to Lord Shiva is that he should bless us with pure Krishna prem, pure love for Lord Krishna, so that our life can become perfect. This is the perfection of our life. All the acharyas have shown us that this is how we should approach Lord Shiva in Vrindavan. Because without his mercy, we cannot enter Vrindavan. Not physically or geographically, that also is there, but spiritually, more importantly. So if you want to enter into the mysteries of Lord Shiva's, of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, then we have to approach Lord Shiva, who is the Kshetrapal. Please, although I am unqualified, please give me some entrance. Just like sometimes if you can't go to some place, you know somebody, so please let me in. So this is your friend, he says, okay, you come. So if Lord Shiva is pleased with us, even though we may not be really qualified, but because his mercy is on us, we would be able to somehow have some little entrance into Vrindavan. We would be able to understand what is Vrindavan, what is Radha Krishna in Vrindavan. That will be the perfection of our life. It is also explained that Shiva Tattva is also Guru Tattva. So by the blessings of the Guru Parampara, we can also achieve the blessings of Lord Shiva. So these last 3 days of lectures have basically been intended to give the correct impression about the glories of Lord Shiva, because even amongst devotees there are some apprehensions or some misconceptions. Certainly there are many misconceptions about Shiva in the outside world. But for a devotee, there is no confusion about the position of Lord Shiva. When Lord Nityananda went down south, he laughed when he saw the tussle and the feud between the Shaivites and the Vaishnavites. In South India, it's a big thing. because neither the Shaivites there could understand the position of Vishnu and Shiva, and neither could many of the Vaishnavas there understand the true glories of Lord Shiva. But actually, when we see Lord Shiva's position, there is no contradiction. We understand the whole thing very, very clearly. This is by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that all these things have been revealed to us. So Lord Shiva therefore has a role to play even in Mayapur. There are many Shiva deities or lingas all over the Navadvip area. Navadvip means nine islands. And the innermost island is called Antardvip. And this is the place where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. His yoga peeth is there. So Kshetrapal Mahadev, Lord Shiva exists there as Kshetrapal Mahadev to protect Mayapur Dham from infiltration by unqualified people. Similarly, there are other areas of Navadvip where Lord Shiva resides. Those of you who have done the parikramas there, you will be knowing so many names. There is one deity of Shiva called Vriddha Shiva. In the local language, he is called Budho Shiva. Buddha, Vriddha means old, Buddha. So he's playing the role like that. So there also he is a Dikpal, he is a Kshetrapal. So in most places of Lord Krishna's pastimes, you will find Lord Shiva's role there. So there should be therefore no confusion in our minds about Lord Shiva's glorious position. So we can petition him for his mercy that we may become pure devotees of Lord Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So today being the last day, we will stop here and give some time for questions. Since there were many questions pending like this, so please ask your questions one by one. If there is a mic, is there a mic here? Yes. So when you pass the mic, please do not switch off the mic and speak, hold the mic at the proper angle so that we can hear. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Could you explain something about the deity of Harihara in Mayapur? There is deity of Harihara. How this is the combination of the two lords, Lord Vishnu?
Yeah, Harihara also. Of course, there are so many topics about Lord Shiva. I did not mention this topic because of shortage of time. There are many Harihara deities actually in Mayapur also, in South India also, in other places. And the Harihara deity is a deity which is half Vishnu and half Shiva. Half Hari and half Hara. Hara is Lord Shiva. And essentially the point is to demonstrate that Hari and Hara are non-different. Hara is an expansion of Hari. To demonstrate that principle, sometimes the Lord appears in this half form, Hari and Hara. Okay, there are other things also, but this is the brief explanation. Yes, can you please pass the mic? Somebody can identify the devotees who are asking questions and take the mic please.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much for the class. We just now heard that Lord Shiva is a Kshetrapal, but when we hear that Mughals attacked Vrindavan or some demons attacked Vrindavan, so how do we take it? Because Lord Shiva is Kshetrapal and still they are killing devotees or destroying temples. So how do we take it?
Well, as I mentioned, by Kshetrapal, specifically the protection is spiritual, not merely physical. When the asuras come into Vrindavan to kill Krishna, that is Krishna's pastimes. Krishna has come here for this purpose. He has come here on this earth. He has incarnated here for specific purposes. And one of them is to destroy the asuras. So naturally, these asuras are entering Vrindavan, and Krishna wants to have the pleasure, or wants to give pleasure to his devotees by killing these demons and assuring them that he will be there to protect. The original Shiva is after all Krishna. Krishna doesn't need Shiva's protection. Lord Shiva needs Krishna's protection. Krishna is quite capable of protecting himself. He is capable of protecting everyone, the whole creation. So when the asuras enter and so on, that is Krishna's leela. It is Krishna's pastime. And when demons may come and they may break down temples, yes, these things have happened in the past during the Mughal rule and even before. Many of these deities have been broken, the temples have been broken, it is there. But it is not necessarily, and in some cases some extraordinary incidents have happened, like when the soldiers of Aurangzeb were breaking down the Radha Govinda temple in Vrindavan, which was 7 stories high. They came down to the 3rd story, but then the whole building was shaking because the Lord was so unhappy with this, that eventually the soldiers got afraid and they did not demolish the building any further. But this is rare. Generally, because Kali Yuga is approaching, has already come, and it is deepening, so the Lord may sometimes permit these things. It is not that the Lord is helpless, but the Lord may allow these things because Kali has to make advancement. And the devotees then have to do a lot of work to preach Krishna consciousness so that the demoniac mentality in the people may be changed. And also Lord Krishna allows these things to test the faith of the faithless and the faithful. The faithless will say, well, just see what is the power of Krishna, he can't even protect himself. But the faithful should not be doubtful. They should not think, oh, why did that happen? Well, we should be faithful. We should not let our faith in Krishna or Krishna consciousness change because of these things. Okay? Yes.
Sir, I thank you for this lecture and all. Sir, my question is, like, there is a mantra for Lord Shiva. We understand ki the mantra that we need to do in our daily life is Krishna Mahamantra. So, sir, how actually we can carry the boat together? Because since we are supposed to, in Kali it is Krishna Mahamantra that we need to chant. So why actually even so many other mantras are keep around us? In even like Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva is also there. And Om Namah Shivaya. So please throw some light on it. Thank you.
Okay, the question is, there are so many mantras, so it causes some confusion. So why should we chant only the Hare Krishna Mahamantra? The answer is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught it to us, and he has explained that we should primarily chant this Mahamantra. And the reason why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has done this is because it is there in the scriptures, specifically in the Kali Santara and Upanishad, where this Mahamantra has been mentioned. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed all of us that we should chant this mantra, which is the Mahamantra, and it includes all other mantras. So if you are chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, you are getting the benefit of chanting all other mantras and much more than that. Okay? Any other? Yes.
As a Vaishnava, can we wear Rudraksh?
As a Vaishnava, can we wear Rudraksh? Why do you need to wear a Rudraksh? As a Vaishnava, we wear the symbols that are very dear to Krishna. So we wear Tulasi. We wear Tulasi Mala. We generally don't wear Rudraksh Mala. So our worship of Lord Shiva is an internal thing. We generally, although we should offer respects when we go to a Shiva temple, or from a distance if we are passing by, we may certainly offer respect, but in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, there is not much emphasis on actual external physical worship. Our worship is essentially for Radha Krishna and other deities like God Nitai and so on. So, even though we respect and glorify Lord Shiva, we do not generally don the external symbols because it may be misunderstood.
Again, Kailash and Shivalok, one and the same thing? Kailash.
Kailash and Shivalok, yes, they are non-different. But the Kailash that is descended on earth is a manifestation of that other Shivaloka. Okay? Any other question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj ji, with this approach of Lord Shiva as greatest Vaishnava, I mean, is there any place for Lord Shiva in the altar, or if yes, where and in which form?
Okay. So is there place for Lord Shiva on our altar? Generally, our acharyas have not taught like this. We may not place Lord Shiva on an altar. And the reason could be that people will misunderstand. You see, in India, one of the problems is that popular religion, popular Hindu religion, is a very confused thing. Anyone and everyone is worshipped. People don't know who is who. Anyone comes up tomorrow, he becomes God. You see, so it's a very confused situation. So if tomorrow we also start keeping Lord Shiva's picture, we wear Rudraksha Mala, then people will think that this, yes, Lord Shiva is supreme. That is what we mean to say. Because on the altar we keep Lord Narsingadev and so on. Or we keep other Giriraj Shilas and so on. So perhaps that is the reason why our acharyas have not indicated to us that we should do such things. So it is not our primary worship. Okay, so we don't place on the altar. Yes, please pass the mic
Hare
to
Krishna.
Other places. Yes, Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, with the advent of this pious speech of yours, we discussed that the supreme controller is Lord Krishna and not Lord Shiva. And in the Srimad Bhagavad Ji, there is a reference that a devotee has the power to bring down Krishna from his lok to wherever the devotee is.
Yes.
As in the case of Draupadi. So, isn't a devotee, through his devotion and bhakti, magnetically controlling the Supreme? And so, isn't the Shiva, controller of the Supreme, a Supreme controller? Though they are non-different.
Very fine and advanced conception. And perfectly correct conception also. Yes, the Lord is controlled, but by the love of His devotees, not by anything else. He is controlled in love, but in tattva, He remains independent and all-powerful. Yes? Just like Srila Prabhupada says, that a father may place his little child on his shoulder. But does that mean that the child is greater than the father? Similarly, Lord Krishna may sometimes worship Lord Shiva also. As he did in the Mahabharata, there is mention that he worshipped Lord Shiva so that Jambavati, his queen, could get a son, Samba. Right? So does it mean that Lord Shiva is greater than Krishna? So even though Lord Krishna is controlled by the love of his devotees, he remains subservient to his devotees in love. But when it comes to tattva, we understand that he always remains the supremely independent and all-powerful Supreme Lord. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Any other question?
Prabhuji, just one little thing. We refer to Prabhupada ji as Srila Prabhupada ji, which is a respect which we show to our seniors and great devotees. Could you please highlight the meaning of Srila?
Srila comes from the word Shri. It is a term of respect. One who is highly auspicious, or one who is very fortunate, one who is opulent, by opulent not in material terms but spiritually. It comes from the word Shri. So that is why we address respectable personalities like that as Srila. Okay? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare
Maharaj,
Krishna.
My question is, what kind of body does Lord Shiva have?
What kind of body does Lord Shiva have?
Lord Vishnu has a spiritual body and Jivas have a material body.
Okay, now, can somebody answer this question? We discussed it somewhat yesterday. Can anyone answer? Yes. Yes, correct.
He is partially Satchidananda. Yes? Sada Swarupa Sampraptaha Sarvagyo Nitya Nutanaha Satchidananda Sandrangaha Sarvasiddhi Nishevitaha. Right? These are the five special qualities that Lord Shiva has, which the jivas do not have. And one of the qualities is Satchidananda Sandrangaha. That Sandra means concentrated, Anga means body. So, the body is concentrated Satchidananda. But this feature exists 100% only in Krishna. But in Lord Shiva, it exists partially. Anshena Girishadishu. So Lord Shiva's body is partially Satchidananda. It is not fully transcendental Satchidananda like Krishna's body. For Krishna's body, there is no difference between his body and the soul. He is all soul. Right? Soul, body, same for Lord Krishna. No difference. So Lord Shiva is not quite like that. For us, there is a clear distinction. Our body is completely material. Asat, Achit, Nirananda. But Lord Shiva's body is partially Satchidananda. Okay? Yes, any other question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yes.
What is the reason the don't entire Lakshmi in Ras Leela and entire the Shivji in Ras Leela, both are the devotee of Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna?
Okay, yes. The question is that what is the reason that Lakshmi Devi, who is also a great devotee of the Lord, was not allowed to enter the Ras Leela, but Lord Shiva was allowed to enter the Ras Leela? Even though both are great devotees, Lakshmi Devi is actually constantly sitting at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, doing Pada Sevanam, massaging his lotus feet and so on. The answer is that when Lakshmi Devi came to Vrindavan to enter into the Ras Leela, she was also stopped at the gate by Yogamaya. And she was also told, but she said, I'm a lady, I can go. But she said, no, you have to give up the conception that you are queen of Vaikuntha. And Lakshmi Devi could not give up that conception. Who can go into the Ras Leela? Only someone who is a gopi, who has come in the mood of a milkmaid of Vrindavan. In the Ras Leela and in Vrindavan, the queen is Srimati Radharani. So Lakshmi Devi, when she came there, she was not able to give up that mood or that conception that she was a queen of Vaikuntha. Therefore, she was not allowed. And till today, she continues to perform austerities to be able to enter the Ras Leela. But Lord Shiva, he was able to give up his feeling of prabhutva, his feeling of enjoyership or lordship. So therefore he was entitled to receive the body of a gopi. He agreed and he was given entrance. Okay?
First they also asked, what is the reason the Lord Shiva's the Shivalinga of worship?
Yes, that question was discussed in the first day. The reason for the worship of Lord Shiva's linga, the Shivalinga, is that the Shivalinga is a symbol of material creation. So he is the father and Durga Devi is the mother of the whole material creation, of all the 84 lakh species of life. That is why we worship, the worshippers of Lord Shiva worship the Shivalinga. He has manifested in that form. Okay, there is some question here also. Please pass the mic in this side here in the front. Here.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, I wanted to know, how does Lord Shiva participate or plays a role in the creation, maintenance and destruction of the world?
Okay, well, that's a big topic. For the destruction of the universe, He performs his Tandav Nritya, his dance of destruction. And then Sankarshan also has a role to play. There is Pralaya, then there is fire. And Lord Shiva's function as the deity in charge of the mode of ignorance is essentially for destruction, because destruction is an act that comes under the mode of ignorance. Creation comes into the mode of passion. Sustenance comes in the mode of goodness. And destruction comes in the mode of ignorance. So this is Lord Shiva's function. So he plays that role at that time. When the time comes for destroying the universe, he expands himself as all the Rudras and so on. His role in the maintenance of the universe is basically that he destroys many demons. And he also preserves dharma by practicing and preaching pure love for the Supreme Lord. And his role in the creation of the universe is basically because Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu does not directly come in contact with Mother Nature. Mother Nature is Maya or Durga. But since the Lord, Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, is always aloof from Maya or Durga, someone on his behalf has to do the act of procreation to generate the 84 lakh species of life and to create everything else in this world. So that function is done by Lord Shiva. So that is the role he plays in creation as the father on behalf of Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu. Alright? Any other questions? We have just 2-3 minutes. Yes, can the mic be passed here?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
My question is, since Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava and pure devotee of Lord Krishna, are the worshippers of Lord Shiva also Vaishnavas or pure devotees of the Lord Krishna?
Interesting question. Since Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava, are his worshippers also not Vaishnavas? The answer is not necessarily. The one who worships Lord Shiva will be considered a Vaishnava only if he worships Vishnu or Krishna. A Vaishnava is one who worships Krishna or Vishnu. And when he worships the devotee of Krishna or Vishnu, he worships the devotee with that understanding. So it is not sufficient to just worship a devotee of Krishna. But you must worship him with that understanding that he is a great devotee of Krishna. If you worship him with the idea that he is an independent Supreme Lord, then that will not be very beneficial. And because the worshipper does not have that conception, so he is not then called Vaishnava. Okay, just like Buddha was an incarnation of Krishna also. He was a Shakti Avesh avatar. He preached a philosophy of atheism in the garb of religion. Many people followed Lord Buddha, but they are not considered Vaishnavas. Rupa Goswami makes this point in the Nectar in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu very clearly. Prabhupada also speaks about this. Because they don't understand who Lord Buddha is, and they don't see Lord Buddha in that light. Therefore, even though they are worshipping the Lord directly, what to speak of the Lord's devotee, they are not considered Vaishnavas. So it is important that for a person to be considered a Vaishnava, his or her understanding of who is the Supreme Lord and who is a devotee must be clear. Alright? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Last question.
I just want one clarification on Hanumanji, because I have heard that Hanumanji is also the eternal servant of Lord Ram, coming from Ayodhya, but he is also considered to be expansion of Lord Shiva. So in this relation, I just want some light. Please.
Yes, you are perfectly correct. Hanuman is a great devotee of Lord Ram and is also considered an expansion of Lord Shiva. So here is another point to show that actually it is not that Shiva is superior to Ram, but Ram is superior to Shiva in Tattva. So yes, Hanuman is indeed an expansion of Lord Shiva. So we should consider Hanuman like that, and we should glorify Hanuman because he is a great devotee of Ram. And we also glorify Shiva because he is also a great devotee of the Supreme Lord. Okay, so it is 9 o'clock, and thank you very much for your kind attention. You have been very patient and attentive audience for 3 days. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Shiva ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Raspi Hari ji ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gop Premanande. Hare Krishna.
There is some announcement to be made. On 9th and 10th, we are having seminar by His Grace Kalakant Prabhu on Vaishnav relationship on 7 to 9 and 6 to 7:30. And Maharaj is also there tomorrow, so we can have lectures on Srimad Bhagavatam in morning, and in afternoon, 1 o'clock, Maharaj is giving in Hindi. Hare Krishna.